This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and pray you will join us every Sunday on this station.
Epicurus once wrote, "To whom little is not enough, nothing is enough. Add not to man's possessions, but take away from his desires." We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that you have provided for our needs in such a gracious way. And yet those of us who have been blessed abundantly often long for just a little bit more and are sometimes envious of those who have more than we do have. God, today in your word, as we hear your servant speaking, the Apostle Paul himself, help us to understand that idolatry can very well be our greatest sin. So we ask you to help us with that sin today. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ, Martin Luther one day was asked, "What is your greatest sin, Martin?" And he replied, "Idolatry." It is God's first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And when I look at my life and see how many people and things I place before the Almighty God, I must confess that more than any other sin, idolatry seems to take first place. Idolatry. You know, when you and I sit in the quietness of our homes and think about this whole matter, the greatest of sin, it probably would not be idolatry that would come first to mind. For I think that most of us, or many of us at least, let's put it that way, many of us, want to believe that God does come first in our lives. Sometimes people will say, I put God first, my family second, and my work third. And so the list goes on. And that sounds very good, and it is worthy of some consideration. But when we examine our daily walk, I wonder if most of us will not join Luther in his testimony. Idolatry is my greatest sin. Today in the text I'd like to read for you, St. Paul gets into this matter of idolatry too, and makes it specific by referring to one particular idol. If you have your Bibles, turn to the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy, verses 6 to 10. 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verses 6 to 10. And here the apostle writes, But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, notice that, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. It is evident that money can put a mighty hold on us when we see what it can do, and then we ask, what would I do with all of this money if I had it? We sometimes see the good things that money does for people, and so we think, well, we better win the lottery or whatever else it might be. My wife and I were sitting one night watching the ball game. And in between the innings, one of the commentators said, Did you hear that so-and-so signed his contract today? He is going to receive $90 million for 5 years. In other words, if he'll stay with that team 5 years, he's going to get $90 million just for throwing a ball around. And we said, what would we do with $90 million? And we had kind of fun talking about we'd give this here and that there and so forth and so on. And we realized that money does hold some interesting things in front of us. Last Saturday, my wife and I were sitting in our living room. The telephone rang, and it was one of our grandsons. And when he identified where he was, and I'll not identify it for you, he said, Grandma and Grandpa, I am having the most interesting experience. He said, I am attending a wedding that you simply cannot believe. It is a friend from the university. He went on to say, I'll bet this wedding has cost $500,000. Now, whether or not his figures were anywhere near correct, I would not know. But it was very clear that he, like his old grandma and grandpa, was somewhat impressed with what money can really buy. And when we see that, there is a tendency for money to grab our souls and make us its slaves. And that's what Paul is talking about today. Now, William Barclay, one of my favorite commentators, has said, that we must remember as we expound on this text. Quote, it is not that Christianity pleads for poverty, nor that there is any virtue in being poor, nor having a struggle to make ends meet. And I think that is very, very important for us to realize. This is not a text that damns the wealthy. It is not that at all. It is not money. And that's why in the reading of the text, I stopped and read it again. It is the love of money, not money. Don't ever say money is the root of all evil. Money is the root of many, many blessings. But it is the love of money. Put an emphasis on that. That is a root of all kind of evil. Now we have here some of the reasons that St. Paul said that. Number one, he said, the love of money can break our relationship with God. He goes on to say, some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. Instead of singing with great conviction, praise God from whom all blessings flow, it has been changed to something like this, praise my wealth, which will buy me perfect contentment. And that simply is not true. But sometimes then we think, if I only had that money. And sometimes young people say, my purpose in choosing a job is that I can become a very, very wealthy individual. That is dangerous. Money breaks our relationship with God. Pretty soon we say we can trust our money. We don't need a savior. That's wrong. Money cannot buy you salvation, and we'll talk about that more in just a few moments. So money can throw us out of a relationship with God. But the only thing that I'm really concerned about and where my life really centers in money, money, money. What's the next investment? What's the next development? I've got all this and this and this, but I want some of this and this and this. Terrible to see how people become so wealthy and yet so poverty-stricken. The second thing that Paul seems to mention here is that money can make us a slave to itself. I've got to accumulate just a little bit more, and it becomes an obsession until finally people have these tremendous estates when they die, and whether the family or whoever is going to be the recipients will do with it is sort of a mystery, but here they are. And they didn't have hardly anything when they lived. I remember one day, many, many years ago, I went into a small apartment way up on the second floor to visit a lady who was extremely wealthy. And as we sat in her little modestly furnished apartment, I noticed that she was watching a television. Now, it was quite a few years ago, but do you know the size of that television? 7 inches. I'm sure, and I didn't have any money, but I must have had by that time a 17-inch or a 19-inch. Now we've graduated to 40 inches and so forth and so on. The old lady died, and she left all of this money. But she had become such a slave to money that she would not even give herself some of the pleasures and joy in a modest little apartment. So it breaks our relationship with God, it makes us a slave, and it breaks our relationship with people. It's a terrible thing just to see what money can really do. A little money, yes. But if we had just a little bit more, then we would really be content, wouldn't we? So what do you say if mom goes to work? And then we'll have an extra income, and we will go and buy one of these $300,000 or $400,000 houses and pay for it on that extra paycheck that comes in. A realtor told me one day, when I asked the question, how are all these big houses being paid for? And he gave me various ways that they were being paid for. But then he went on to tell me just what I told you, that one extra check. Now, I'm not talking about the necessity sometimes of mom going out and working. But I'm saying when it is just to get the money, in order that we can have a little bit more, and taken away from those little children when they're growing up is that mother. That can break relationships. And that is proven psychologically and in every other way. It can break up the family. Two tired people hit the pad at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, both have worked. Tempers can be a little short. Anger can come. The results can be down the road a few years. The divorce is evident. This is what money, the love of money can do. Now, may I hurry on to say that the love of money can also be used in a very positive way. I like to run into these people who say, I love to make money. But what is interesting about it is how they're using the money. And in some ways, in some cases, it is just fantastic to see how they are using that money to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. How they are using that money to blot out some of this hunger. How they can live almost at times modestly, but they want that money to really count. Just think of a person who was of rather modest means, who handed one of our schools not long ago over $1 million and said, I want you to have it before I die. I want you to have a scholarship for a particular type of a student. And I'd like to see some of this before I go to heaven. He was so happy about all of this. Think of the joy that person can have. Think of the joy, for example, when you help out with some of these radio and television programs. It's costly to televise. It's costly to do radio. And yet we realize that it is bringing the gospel to many people who never would enter inside of a church. They come to me every day, and they'll say, I heard you on this particular Sunday. What did you mean by this? And I ask them, what church do you belong to? Oh, I don't belong to the church, but I'm kind of interested in the message. And that's what we're interested in bringing to them. That's a love of money that is used not for selfish reasons, but it is used for the betterment of other people. Now, don't get me wrong. God wants you to have a good marriage. God wants you to have a marriage that has sufficient money. As I mentioned before, quoting William Barclay, Christianity does not plead for poverty, nor is there any virtue in being poor or having to struggle to make ends meet. No, he wants you to have a nice house. He wants you to have a good car. He wants you to go on a vacation. He wants you to educate those children. He wants you to provide for the necessary health needs and retirement. Of course, that is not what we're talking about. But it is this idea that after those needs have been satisfied, plus a few more luxuries that went along with it, that the love of money has stopped being. I don't need any more. Well, I can hear somebody say, and rightly so, well, you've gone on now for a few minutes talking about the love of money and how dangerous it is. What can free me from it? I basically believe in what you said, but what is the answer to this? We don't sit on the problems, but we stand on the solutions. Now, Epicurus said, well, to whom little is not enough, nothing is enough. Add not to man's possessions, but take away some of his desires. But how do you do that, Epicurus? And as far as I know, he didn't leave the answer to that. But St. Paul does. St. Paul says that contentment comes with godliness. And how does godliness come? Friend, contentment comes through relationships. Learn this real good. Money cannot buy relationships. Ask those people who have married for money and have lived, in some cases, a miserable life. Money cannot buy you relationship. It cannot buy you a relationship with God. A relationship with God can come only by God's grace, and that comes as a gift. And the gift is not for sale. It is a gift. It is when God showers his grace upon me in Jesus Christ that I can know that I am in tune with God. And when I'm in tune with God, then there is contentment, and that is all that is necessary for the good life and for eternal life that is to follow. You cannot buy yourself into a personal relationship with God. Even if you let this large sum of money at the time of your death, that would not buy you a place with God. You and I are sinners. And that sin, whether it be the sin of idolatry or it's some other sin, separates us from a relationship with God. And when we are separated from a relationship with God, there is something that is lacking in our lives. And that which is lacking is we do not know our Father, our Heavenly Father. We go about as an orphan. But the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary came into this world and suffered and died as a payment for your sins and mine. And we can take our sins of idolatry and all of the other sins and lay them at the foot of the cross and pray, God, forgive me. And his grace forgives me, and there is peace with God. And then he goes on from there. He begins to take away that tremendous love. There is something more than money. There is a relationship with God Almighty. Money is nice, but it cannot capture us. That's how God wants to lead us. How do I get rid of this? You ask the question, how do I get rid of that love for money? Fall in love with Jesus Christ. And you quickly see that it disappears and you have a right understanding of money. The love of money is a cause for relationship among people to be broken. Well known for sure. We can't take our money with us, but our Savior and Christian friends will go with us to the hour of death. And when that last breath is drawn, then it is just you and your Savior who will walk together into the kingdom of heaven. That's what he has promised to us. What is it that brings contentment, peace, joy? Relationships. Who brings relationships? None other than Jesus Christ himself. Take a look at that money. Thank God for it. Use it wisely. But remember, the love of that money can be the destination of your soul. That is not too pleasant. Recently, my wife and I received a card from our friend Barbara. Barbara is sick with a terminal illness. This is what she writes, not just to us, but to a lot of people. We cherish you. We have received many blessings over this past year for all of you. Thank you for visiting the webpage phone calls, emails, cards, and letters, thanks for meals and errands, flowers and visiting, songs, music, books, and gifts. Your prayers have held us up, and we feel so blessed. There is no repayment for how you have given to us. You are truly priceless. You know what? When that day comes that Barbara will leave this world, you know who will be around her? Her friends. And when she breathes her last, like all others, the Savior will take her into the kingdom of heaven. With that she lives in great contentment. Amen. Father, we ask you just one prayer. Give to us a sense of values that is given and controlled by the grace that comes to us from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's message has uplifted and challenged you in your faith walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent upon gifts of our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of this ministry. If you would like information on how to include Christian Crusaders in your will, contact our office at 1-888-693-2484. You may also write Christian Crusaders at P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. We thank all who support this ministry with their prayers and gifts. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift to help cover production and mailing costs is appreciated. We are also offering a special DVD series of 5 sermons titled Basic Biblical Truths by Reverend Larson for a suggested donation of $10 per program. Send your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.